Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Permian Basin Comic Con keeps COVID-19 protocols. Mask required at weekend event. By Royal McGregor, rmcgregor at oaoa.com. Contracts had been signed, tickets had already been sold. All were done with heightened coronavirus safety precautions, which included mask wearing, social distancing, and larger spaces between vendors and special guests. Chris Slatosh, the promoter director for Permian Basin Comic Con, said safety precautions that were originally planned will continue throughout the weekend, after Governor Greg Abbott's statewide mask mandate expired on Wednesday. There are going to be a lot of different people, and for us to respect a lot of different people, the easiest path is to go ahead and keep the masks on, Slatosh said. The three-day Permian Basin Comic Con is scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. Friday at the Bush Convention Center, located at 105 North Main Street in Midland. Slatosh said many of the special guests have safety precautions written in their contracts. The special guests at this year's Permian Basin Comic Con include Kevin Sorbo, who is best known for his lead role in Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. David Ankrum, who is best known for playing Wedge Antilles in Star Wars. And Power Rangers actors Austin St. John, Walter Jones, and David Fielding. When the special guests agreed to come out, we had to submit a pretty lengthy safe policy, Slatosh said. For the special guests, safe policy is number one. A year ago, the event was scheduled for the second week in March, but was postponed until September. Slatosh said that between 1,000 and 1,500 patrons throughout the weekend would be successful. He said Permian Basin Comic Con will feature more than 125 vendors and has eliminated activities that keep people lingering in one area for an extended period of time. The event center has told us that we can lift capacity, but we are still limiting the building to 50%, which is about 1,000 people at a time, Slatosh said. Permian Basin Comic Con X website, tinyurl.com/D4HY86R3. Permian Basin Comic Con X Facebook, tinyurl.com/BZ6X9T. Man charged with inappropriately touching 5-year-old girl. OA News at OAOA.com. An Ector County Sheriff's Office probable cause affidavit detailed that a 47-year-old man was arrested after he inappropriately touched a 5-year-old girl. Darren Ray Gray, 47, was charged with indecency with a child by sexual contact, a second-degree felony. The inappropriate touching was reported to ECSO at 7:30 p.m. January 29th after the complainant, a registered nurse at Midland Memorial Hospital, stated that a 5-year-old girl and her mother made the outcry that her Nana's boyfriend touched her, the affidavit detailed. During a forensic interview at Harmony Home, the girl reportedly stated that while staying with her father, who lives at Nana's house, that Nana's boyfriend, later identified as Gray, touched her inappropriately over the clothing. During a voluntary interview, Gray stated he never had any contact with the girl, the affidavit stated. Gray also stated that he would only see the children for a short period of time after arriving at his girlfriend's house, located in the 2000 block of Stoner Road. After further investigation, it was reportedly found that Gray did have contact with the girl on the night the 5-year-old stated she was inappropriately touched. Gray was contacted and asked to come in for a voluntary follow-up interview, where he admitted, after being advised of his Miranda rights, that he did inappropriately touch the 5-year-old girl over her clothing for at least 2 seconds, the affidavit stated. Gray was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on March 9th, jail records show. He had one bond totaling $20,000 and posted bail the same day. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, March 11th, 2021, opinion. Guest view. Texas's February freeze showed our state's true character. By U.S. Senator John Cornyn, R. Texas. In the face of hardship, I'm always in awe of the way Texans show up for one another. We've seen countless inspiring stories of Texans helping Texans in the past, and during last month's winter storms, Texans stepped up to help their neighbors once again in ways big and small. There are stories like that of Ken Everly, an 82-year-old Air Force veteran from Grand Prairie. Mr. Everly is on hospice care. He relies on a breathing machine to keep him alive and a special air mattress that prevents bed sores to keep him comfortable. When his home lost power, Mr. Everly was in serious danger. The breathing machine cut off and the air mattress deflated, leaving him struggling to breathe on an iron bed frame. His son-in-law, Nate, pleaded for help on Facebook, and within hours, help arrived. Nate said, "I don't know where it came from, but a generator showed up." Thanks to the generosity of a stranger, Mr. Everly once again had his breathing machine, a comfortable mattress, and heat in his home. The best part of his story is it's not unique. There are countless others like it from Texas February freeze. Jeep drivers in North Texas teamed up to offer free rides to and from work for healthcare workers and first responders. Restaurants across the state offered free food to folks without power. And countless Texans shared offers on social media to deliver warm meals, bottles of water, and a range of other supplies to those who needed them. But those instances of neighborly help are nowhere near an exhaustive list. Another big issue folks faced is a lack of safe drinking water. A need Houston area breweries stepped up to fill. The breweries already had a supply of clean water on hand for their brewing process, and they spread the word to their communities, "Come by with a container and we'll give you clean water." These breweries collectively donated thousands of gallons of clean drinking water, completely free of charge. Across Texas, churches, schools, nonprofits, community centers, and local organizations opened their doors as warming centers. One of those warming centers is operated by Houston's most beloved furniture store owner, Mattress Mac. Dating back to Hurricane Katrina in 2005, Mattress Mac has opened the doors of his stores to provide food and shelter to those impacted by severe weather. Again, during the winter storms, his gallery furniture was open around the clock for Texans to stay as long as they needed, whether that was an hour for a hot meal or for several nights. These stories are a reminder of the strength and generosity of Texans and an encouraging reminder of the endless amount of good that still exists in the world. But let's not forget those Texans who had already been punching above their weight to keep our state safe and healthy during the pandemic. First responders and 911 dispatchers went above and beyond the call of duty to get people to safety. Healthcare workers continued battling the pandemic while dealing with the power outages, staffing shortages, and water disruptions caused by the winter storm. Utility workers and energy providers worked day and night in dangerous conditions to restore power and safe drinking water to Texans. And millions of unsung heroes have helped their fellow Texans get through these dark days, checking on elderly neighbors, helping drivers whose vehicles were stuck in the snow, welcoming people into their homes, donating supplies to those in need, and so much more. The outpouring of love exemplifies a quote I heard some time ago from a Texas County Commissioner. He said, "Being a Texan doesn't describe where you're from, it describes who your family is." I am grateful to the countless Texans who have supported their communities during this crisis. I want to thank everyone who has supported our state in ways big and small over the past couple of weeks, and who will no doubt support our efforts to come back stronger in days to come. And I want to assure my fellow Texans that I will continue to support ongoing response efforts in any way possible. Senator John Cornyn, a Republican from Texas, is a member of the Senate Finance, Intelligence, and Judiciary Committees. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, March 11th, 2021. Death Notices. Stephen Leroy Caldwell, Odessa. Stephen Leroy Caldwell, 64, died Saturday, March 6th, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Ernesto Gutierrez Castillo, Odessa. Ernesto Gutierrez Castillo, 76, of Presidio, died Monday, March 8, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Thursday, March 11, 2021, at Emmanuel Church in Presidio, Texas. Burial will follow at Desert Hills Cemetery in Presidio, Texas. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Erlene Ruth Cox, Odessa. Erlene Ruth Cox, 89, of Odessa, died Friday, March 5th, 2021, in Odessa, Texas. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland, Texas. Maydell Annette Butler Davidson, Odessa. Maydell Annette Butler Davidson, 68, of Odessa, died Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Saturday, March 27th, 2021, at Unity Spiritual Center. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Andres Natividad Renteria, Odessa. Andres Natividad Renteria, 68, of Odessa, died Sunday, March 7th, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m., Friday, March 12th, 2021, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Beatrice P. Pleasant Robertson, Odessa. Beatrice P. Pleasant Robertson, 79, of Odessa, died Saturday, February 27, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, March 12, 2021, at Texas and Clements Church of Christ. Brother Devin DeShields is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Adelita Sauceda Robles, Odessa. Adelita Sauceda Robles, 59, of Odessa, died Monday, March 8, 2021, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Friday, March 12, 2021, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Rosalba Castillo Rosie Romero Romero, Odessa. Rosalba Castillo Rosie Romero Romero, 42, died Sunday, March 7th, 2021, in Odessa. services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. William Everett Salter, Odessa. William Everett Salter, 77, died Monday, March 8, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Delivery of education changing. Disruptions have sparked innovation. The frigid weather Texas is slowly thawing out from, another in a line of disruptions that colleges and universities have had to adapt to this past year. Commissioner of Higher Education for the state of Texas, Harrison Keller, said in a phone interview that COVID-19 has changed and is changing the delivery of education, but also the state economy, which higher education has to adapt to as well. With the power outages that came with the snow and ice this past week, universities not only lost some class time, but may also have lost research. Keller said he hasn't gotten reports of that yet, but when these events occur, it's not just the power going out and people losing what's in their refrigerators. It could also be years of research, because some of it may take place in climate-controlled conditions. As for learning loss, higher education isn't experiencing it as acutely as kindergarten through 12th grade. At this point, I think on that front, the colleges and universities are pretty adaptable, where if you lose a week of classes, they can make adjustments in their schedules and in their syllabi and figure out how to make up a few days here or there, Keller said. So on that front, I think higher ed tends to be more nimble than the public side, especially given what everyone's experienced this past year. We just yesterday, Thursday, sent out some guidelines. There are rules around how many hours of instruction you have to have for a fundable course. We can provide some flexibility around that. So if we're talking about a week of disruption, it doesn't count against them. If you had something that was a longer disruption, like a month, then that's more challenging. So then they have to figure out, do they have to convert to remote instruction? Do you send students home? Depending on the situation and the extent of the damage, you might have to make larger accommodations. But again, the reports that I've heard have been more about temporary disruptions, where it's a few days. Keller said there is a project review going on, and one of the four pillars that they are looking at is research. What's the role of the research mission in expanding and driving regional and state economic development, especially as the economy moves quickly in the direction of higher skilled jobs and more of a knowledge-based economy? The universities become more and more important to these communities, he added. Earlier this month, the Blackstone Charitable Foundation announced the expansion of its Blackstone Launchpad student entrepreneurship programming from 2 to 8 campuses in the University of Texas system, including UTPB, helping bring the initiative's network resources to a more diverse set of students. The $5 million expansion is designed to give more students critical access to resources, opportunities, and mentorship. Other universities in the system that will be given access includes University of Texas El Paso, UT Rio Grande Valley, UT San Antonio, UT Medical Branch, and UT Southwestern. I'm a big fan of integrating work on entrepreneurship into the curriculum and expanding opportunities for students. So that kind of thing is, I think, pretty exciting for UTPB and for the community, Keller said. You have a different kind of educational experience when your institution is encouraging and supporting your startup, and when you get coaching and support to turn your discovery into something that can help impact people's lives, he added. But what if you're not business-minded or you're bad at math? I think that's something we probably need to rethink, just the way that we think about the way we teach math and the way we encourage people around math, Keller said. I think we're probably too quick to be able to say, well, I'm just bad at math. We don't say I'm bad at reading. I think that there's some really exciting, interesting work that's going on nationally, but also that Texas math educators, leaders, to rethink the math curriculum and think about how to make the math curriculum more relevant and more directly connected to the kinds of problems that people need to navigate in different kinds of jobs. So less of a forced march to college algebra and more emphasis on like the analytics and statistics, that kind of thing. One silver lining of the disruption everyone has experienced this past year is it's accelerating the pace of innovation of how education is delivered in colleges and universities. There are some really interesting things that folks are doing with their calendars and with their curriculum. Of course, rethinking how we use physical space, how we use technology. So it feels to me like we're at the front edge of this fundamental transformation in what higher education looks like, Keller said. Generally speaking, enrollments at colleges and universities have declined this past year. Odessa College and UTPB have bucked that trend. Keller said he thinks the numbers will come back across the board. That's going to be really, really important for us to support enrollments bouncing back on a couple of fronts. One is that we know if students stop out or drop out, then they're less likely to finish. And the longer they stay stopped out or dropped out, the less likely they are to finish. So it's really concerning to see so many low-income students, first-generation students, and especially we see disproportionately high numbers of Black students and Hispanic students who have stopped out. It's going to be important for us to, not just for the short term, but for the long term, we're going to need to engage and enroll and re-enroll students, Keller said. COVID is another factor, as it is accelerating change in the broader economy. A lot of the jobs that people have lost aren't coming back, or they're not coming back quickly, or they're coming back, but they look pretty different. And so we've got a lot of new jobs being created. Tens of thousands of new jobs are being created across the state. And then we have a lot of displaced workers who are unemployed. But there's a growing distance between the kinds of skills and credentials that displaced workers have and the kinds of skills that you need for the jobs. So it's going to be really important for us to expand our ability to help people reskill and upskill so they can get back on their feet, get back in the economy, help take care of their families, and help drive the recovery of the state economy. But also for the longer term, to help make sure that we're going to be competitive, because these changes were already underway in the economy, but they got accelerated pretty dramatically, especially around how people use technology, Keller said.
ECISD Teacher Aided by Grant by Michael Bauer. Caption reads, GT program teacher Vanessa Brower poses for a photo in her classroom on Wednesday afternoon at Lyndon B. Johnson Elementary School. Brower received a grant worth $2,500 from the State Farm Teacher Assist Program to help her pack scholars in progress bags with essential supplies, including journals, pencils, erasers, and a watercolor paint set for her students to use. Vanessa Brower wants her students to have as many supplies as possible to overcome the stress and trauma that has been brought on by the pandemic. The GT program teacher at Johnson Elementary LBJ in Odessa, is looking to accomplish that with a grant that was recently awarded to her. In late January, Brower was awarded a $2,500 grant from State Farm that she plans on using to make special packs called Scholars in Progress bags for her students to help them out. The project was supported by the State Farm Teacher Assist Grant. I just hope that the kids understand that it's for them, and it's because this is the least I can do as a person and support them and their educational needs, Brower said. I care about them and pray for them. Brower said she originally learned about the grant in the fall. The State Farm Teacher Assist Program allowed teachers across the state of Texas to submit their innovative ideas and needs in January for an opportunity to receive the grant. Out of 200 submissions that were reviewed, only 40 were granted. When it came time to write her application, Brower said she thought of the things that were needed the most in her classroom and for her students. With my classes being a special program, just getting kids to have materials ready to go no matter where they are, whether they're at home learning or if they're coming into my classroom, was a big hurdle. Because we had a lot of kids that would just forget everything, and we couldn't share materials in the classroom now, Brower said. Brower noted that her class would have to hand clean every single item every time and had to revamp the way they worked with the materials. She said some of her students have had to go through traumatic situations because of COVID-19. A lot of my kids have been so stressed with their family situations, like losing jobs and not having school supplies or leave their homes because things are so limited for them, Brower said. It's just so hard for some of them. The bags will be filled with essential supplies and materials for her virtual and in-school students to use. Those include standard pencils, erasers, journals, and other important items. For my kids, it's a big help because they can have all the materials at their fingertips, Brower said. It's been a great thing. Brower said she is also going to include a watercolor set. When we sit down to do any kind of art piece or creative work, they're thrilled to have a watercolor set, even just to use in the classroom, Brower said. But I thought if they had it all the time, like if class got canceled, or if they got sick and had to be quarantined, or if we have to move to virtual learning, they would have their bags and have a watercolor set. That would make them happy. Another essential item that Brower said she will be including in the bags is journals. She talked about how critical it was for her students to have something to write about during the pandemic. No matter what, that journal is vital to them, Brower said. Their ability to share and record what they're going through will become a vital part during the pandemic. It becomes important. I want them to have it for the rest of their lives. I want it to be something sturdy that will last. They put their heart and souls into writing. Pencil sharpeners and erasers will also be included. I love pencils and they're so easy, but you have to be able to sharpen it. Some of my kids don't have pencil sharpeners at home, so I gave them several. Brower said she'll also have extra items just in case any of her students lose their supplies. They're kids, Brower said. That happens. If they lose their bags, I will hand them another one with a big smile on my face because I can, because I have the extra materials. That means the world to me. Brower has been teaching at Johnson Elementary since 2009. She received her college education at Sol Ross State University. We're so excited. Johnson Elementary School Principal Alicia Hoguin said, Brower always goes the extra mile to do the things for our kids and always looking out for our families as well. With all the hardships that we've had this year and changes that we've had on campus, being able to provide those school supplies and different things that the kids need that are essential for their education and not having to stress our parents, it just really helps our kids and our families and our school. We're so excited that she was able to do that for our gifted students. For Brower being able to make sure her students have enough school supplies has almost been beyond words. My kids needed help, Brower said. I can't go home with them and feed them and make sure they have food and clothes, but I can certainly make sure they have school supplies if I have the funding to do it. This is a way for me to take care of them and make sure that they have what they need.
UTPB student on path to being debt-free by Ruth Campbell. When Samantha Serrano graduates from University of Texas Permian Basin in spring 2022, she will not only have a marketing degree, she'll be debt-free. The Permian High School graduate said she made getting a bachelor's degree a top priority. I've been able to pay for school, and I have not taken out any loans, so I've been able to finance my lifestyle to where UTPB is not a burden, Serrano said. She said she was able to save money by attending Odessa College for 2 years on scholarship, living at home, and working as a secretary at the Dobbs Law Firm. When she enrolled at UTPB last summer, she saw how much her first semester was going to be and put aside funds based on that. I'm a transfer student, so my first 2 years were at Odessa College. I was on scholarship there, so I actually didn't pay for school my first 2 years. That helped me a lot to be at the community college and take advantage of that to where I could save during that time period for whenever I transferred to UTPB, Serrano said. According to bestcolleges.com, the average student leaves school owing more than $28,000. Scott Lipinski, Director of Financial Aid and Scholarships at UTPB, said graduating debt-free is unusual, but it can be done. A student who completes a distinguished high school diploma in high school, there's multiple ways a student can get it, but say a student completes their distinguished high school diploma and then they're awarded the Texas grant for the college they plan on going to, that grant can cover a student's tuition and fees. It's required by state law to cover their tuition and fees. A student who gets awarded that more than likely is going to graduate debt-free than a student who doesn't, Lipinski said. He added that since he started at UTPB last June, he has changed student aid to increase the chances of students graduating debt-free or with minimal debt. If a student has an EFC, expected family contribution of $6,000 or below, and they've completed the distinguished high school diploma, they could potentially receive about $18,000 in state, federal, and institutional grant funding, Lipinski said. It costs an estimated $9,172 for in-state tuition for 15 credit hours. For most degrees, it takes 120 credits to graduate. It's good when students are able to graduate debt-free. We have the Falcon Promise, where if families make less than $60,000, we make sure that their tuition and fees are covered between all grants and scholarships, so those students are also able to potentially graduate debt-free, Lipinski said. We have a couple different programs that can assist students to graduate debt-free or with minimal debt. Like radio host Dave Ramsey, who often dispenses financial advice, Serrano will be able to shout, "I'm debt-free." That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to scream, "I'm debt-free," as soon as I get my diploma, Serrano said. Asked what advice she would give to others who want to try leaving loans behind, Serrano said she would find out what they were willing to sacrifice. Are they willing to manage their lifestyle and their finances to fit an education? And how much of a priority is it to advance their education? Serrano said. It's a choice, and it's a choice I made. It's not for everyone. Others are in different circumstances. I've had a classmate say, "This is what I can afford this semester, so I'm only taking two classes." I think it's understanding where your mindset is and how much you want that, and if you're willing to commit to graduating debt-free. She added that she has had friends from high school who were willing to take out loans. That just wasn't my personality. I'm more of a I-need-to-know person who is cautious about their finances, she said. This is one of the main reasons I chose to stay at UTPB, and it's really paid off for me. She has a deal with her parents where she lives at home and doesn't have to worry about things like groceries. A bonus is a hug from her mom when she's stressed out. She has two younger siblings and an older sister in college in San Antonio. It was definitely a give and take. My parents said, "Well, since you're going to pay for college, you don't have to worry about any living expenses." So that was kind of the trade-off in our situation. I was very blessed in that not every student has that, Serrano said. She isn't sure yet what she will pursue with her marketing degree. As of right now, I'm planning on staying at the Dobbs Law Firm. I've really enjoyed what I've learned, and I'm going to stay there for a bit. There's not a set plan for after graduation other than staying here and working there. I'm not sure other than that, but I'm very happy at the Dobbs Law Firm, so it's been a great opportunity to work for them and get my degree, she said. She added that law is something she'd consider, but her main focus is to get through school, get her degree, and see where she lands after that. Knowing she'll graduate with no debt is satisfying and liberating. She added that the financial aid staff at the university has been very helpful. It's definitely something I'm seeing other classmates and friends go through that I'm very grateful I'm not having to experience at the moment, Serrano said. She added that she has enjoyed her experience at UTPB. Last semester, I wasn't able to be on campus, so this semester is a whole different experience that I've really enjoyed. I think the fact that UTPB is allowing us to be on campus is a major benefit to all students who took advantage of it. I know during this time of the pandemic, some are very hesitant, but I'm very thankful UTPB has allowed us to come in and taken all the precautions to allow us to be on campus and to engage with our professors and peers, Serrano said.
FOCA Accepting Ninth Grade Applications by Ruth Campbell. First Odessa Christian Academy plans to add ninth grade next year, but it just needs enough students to make it possible. Head of Schools Tyler Press said the kindergarten through eighth grade campus, located inside First Baptist Church, Odessa, has 125 students and 20 staff members. If there aren't enough students for ninth grade, it won't make, like a college class. At this time, we don't have enough students enrolled for ninth grade, but the application window is still open. We understand that it's early and there's a lot going on with the pandemic and snowpocalypse last week. For families who are interested in ninth grade, we'd really like them to apply before the end of May, Press said. That will give us time to hire staff over the summer, so if at the end of May, if the class hasn't made, then anyone who has applied, we would refund the application money. Families may apply by visiting vocaacademy.org and going under the Admissions tab. With the number of students First Odessa Christian has now and messaging the master schedule, Press said, the school is able to provide individualized attention. We'll never have more than a 20-to-1 student-to-teacher ratio, Press says. We have actually been able to split that in half. So instead of having 20, which is still small in West Texas, it's down to 10, and so lots of individual attention, lots of ability for students to ask questions, and lots of personalized learning going on in classrooms. Press said FOCA has administered the MAP, MAP, Measure of Academic Progress, test the past 2 years. We're seeing lots of growth in the students. We were very happy when our students came back to in-person instruction that the national average was a 3-point slide and the majority of our students didn't show that much of a slide. We were really pleased with our online instruction that went for the end of the year. Then we were excited that we had students come back in August face-to-face, Press said. Math was the subject that saw the most decline on the average. It's hard to think of math this way, but it's really like a foreign language. If you're not using it, then you're losing it. And so math was definitely the subject that took the most slide. But, like I said, I'm happy to say that we were above that national average on slide, Press said. He added that the school grew as well despite the economic downturn and the pandemic. First Odessa Christian is now in its second year. He noted that about 50% of the families have an attachment to the church and the other half do not. We have not been able to accurately track our students' acquisitions, so we do a referral service. So if a student enrolls and they were recommended by another family that they come here, then we do give discounts for referrals, Press said. That's definitely one of those areas that we're going to watch closely about where our students are actually coming from and how we're acquiring them, Press said. He added, a Christian-based education is the platform that they build everything on. All of the teachers here are certified with the state. We are accredited with TEA, Texas Education Agency, for grades K through 8, which was very important for us as well. We have small class sizes where kids get the personal attention that they deserve, and the parents have a lot of interaction with their teachers as well. We really make it student-focused. We want to make sure that the parents who have given sacrificially to be here, that we are meeting their expectations. So lots of interactions with them, lots of interaction with the students. It's a very positive culture here. Our students enjoy being here. I get so many hugs after a long weekend or being out for a week for weather. Kids are excited to be here. which is a hard thing to replicate. We've got a great staff, great students, great families. So again, just a really positive culture with a high expectation built on a religious foundation, Press said.
Family history includes puzzling advice. Dear Dr. Roach, 60 years ago, I married into a family that included a woman doctor in the generation before mine. My mother-in-law was always lamenting that she had never understood a little ditty that Aunt Doctor would always say. Oranges are gold in the morning, silver at noon, and lead at night. I finally solved the riddle. Every night I drink orange juice. I experience sleep disturbances all night. I shifted to orange juice in the morning. No more problems. Years later, I have been in two hospitals and rehab facilities that served oranges or orange juice at night. Changing to morning could have a positive effect on the comfort of many hospital patients. G.R. Answer. From my research, it appears this saying may have been intended to keep people from stealing oranges at night. However, oranges do have acid, which could predispose to heartburn, which might in turn affect sleep. The sugar load in an orange can cause short-term high blood sugar, but in some people, the body's response can cause a temporary low blood sugar as well. If eating oranges at night doesn't bother you, there is no reason to stop. But oranges are on the long list of things which might cause sleep disturbance. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, March 11th. Former nanny tires of keeping lesbian marriage under wraps. Dear Abby, I am an out and proud lesbian who recently celebrated 10 years as a couple and 3 years of marriage to my wife. I worked as a professional nanny for many years, and I'm still extremely close to the first family I worked for. Although we have known each other for years, they still ask me not to mention my marriage when I'm around their kids. They refer to my wife as my roommate. It's all I can do to bite my tongue. I have ignored this for too long. I recently invited them over to see my new home. Because of their conservative views, I warned them in advance about the wedding photos I have displayed. I'm not ashamed of my life. I am extremely proud of myself and my wife. I am hurt and offended by their requests. I feel they only accept certain parts of me. I realize it's unhealthy to continue this way, but I'm terrified of losing them. I'm usually a straightforward person. I feel open communication is important with everyone else in my life, but I have lost relationships before because, no matter how respectful I tried to be, honesty can sometimes be hard to hear. How can I be honest without angering this couple, and what's the best way to start this conversation? Signed, Outspoken Nanny. Dear Nanny, if your former employers think they can censor their children's world to admit the fact that perfectly nice people, including one that they love, are gay, they're dreaming. Kids today are very worldly. When the parents started calling your wife your roommate, you should have corrected them then and told them it was offensive and hurtful. Invite them to your home and leave your wedding photos displayed. Why are you terrified that your relationship with them will end because you're living your authentic life mystifies me. If they can't handle the truth, you and your wife are better off without them. Dear Abby, my husband's brother has two kids, both of whom are now adults. The older one is in their second year of college, the younger one will graduate from high school this spring. We haven't missed a single birthday for either one. The only time we see them is when there's a birthday or it's Christmas, with a few exceptions like the occasional funeral. I think it's time to stop the annual birthday gifts. We're not particularly close, and I'm tired of the forced merriment when it's clear they are only after the gift. How do I tell the parents and the grandparents there will be no more gifts for birthdays without sounding like a stingy old aunt? Signed, Gifted Out in Michigan. Dear Gifted Out, unless you want to make a change immediately, hang in there until the younger child reaches 21. At that point, put the parents and grandparents on notice that because the kids are now adults, you will be sending cards rather than gifts.
Horoscope. Happy birthday for Thursday, March 11th, 2021. Intuitive, tasteful, and trend-setting, your outer world is fast and competitive while your inner world is dreamy and relaxed. This year, your wits and persistence carry you toward success against formidable odds. Bravo! If single, you can only have the best, so it's quite a search. I see it finalizing in September 2022. If attached, you yield more power than you realize. Let things go. Aries is crazy about you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 3 stars. Memories of a lost love must be kept in perspective. Your interest in helping the disadvantaged grows. Quietly, you will act and do much good in the world. Tonight, there are thoughts and feelings you'd prefer to keep to yourself for the time being. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 4 stars. You will enjoy chance meetings with those from your past. A reunion with a longtime friend is likely. You reconsider the pursuit of a dream once abandoned. Get in touch with your inner voice for direction. Tonight, consult with a group. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 5 stars. Today is all about professional aspirations and your ambitions. You will attract attention. Pursue opportunities that showcase your capabilities. You're entering a more promising security cycle. You might have gone from rags to riches more than once. Tonight, a sigh of relief. Cancer, June 21st through July 21st, 5 stars. Expect an increase in energy and motivation. Take time to exercise. Travel is favored, as are journeys of the mind and spirit. There is much to learn. If you've always yearned to write, now is the time. Tonight, a sense of the miraculous prevails. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 4 stars. Today puts you in tune with your potential. Fate is at work in your life. Some things just are or are not meant to be. Appreciate synchronicities and you'll be guided to manifest what's best. Heed signs. Tonight, your energy level is especially high. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. 3 stars. Today reveals much about a close partner. Companions offer suggestions. Reality is clouded. If in doubt, wait for the facts to be revealed before making choices. Revel in the attraction of opposites. Tonight, a much sought-after dinner with a loved one. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. 3 stars. Your sense of adventure deepens. You'll yearn to wander and explore. Dreams and visions must not be taken literally. Direct your heightened imagination and creativity into constructive ends. A domestic matter demands your attention and can be sorted out. Tonight, an especially healthy meal. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. 4 stars. Today ushers in a cycle of happiness. Reach out to those you care about, even one you haven't talked to in a long time. Visit an art display or complete creative projects. Get all the facts before acting. Tonight, patience is a must. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. 4 stars. Seek inner harmony and release stress. A family member is feeling very adventurous and may surprise you by taking a gamble. Take sensible precautions and all will be well. Genealogical study uncovers interesting facts. Tonight, it's a wonderful time to redecorate your workspace. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. 3 stars. A sibling or neighbor is changing. Don't be in denial when obvious signs are being sent. Be diplomatic when discussing controversial issues. Call ahead and confirm plans. Transportation needs are being considered and information exchange is very important. Tonight, return calls promptly. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. 4 stars. Thoughts mostly revolve around your earning power. You work hard for your family's security. Shop for an item you've long coveted in the days before the pandemic. Keep receipts. A purchase might have to be exchanged. Tonight, study your habits regarding money. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. 5 stars. Today marks one of the most promising times all year. Career and personal opportunities abound. Enjoy life and put plans in motion for future dreams. Write your new resolutions, schedule appointments, and begin projects you've been interested in. Tonight, celebrate quietly.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.